Punjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Gopi chana bala ba giribada da Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Damuna Thiravana Chari Ramuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Thiravana Chari Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. So today I wanted to share with you some experience that I had just a couple of weeks ago that affected me and made me remember Krishna and Arjuna. So a couple weeks ago, well, actually at Radhastami, well, we take care of cows, right? And for about 20 years, a little more maybe, we've had cows, and we protected them. So on Radhashtami, we found one of our cows down. He had fallen, and he had broken a hip, right? And for people, you get hip replacement like that, but for cows, there's no such thing. And when they can't walk, then they can't graze, and then their whole body starts stopping. So over the 2 weeks, because we had him from birth, he was born here on our farm, and he grew up to be a nice big ox. He was probably about almost 2,000 pounds. And he was so gentle, and he worked so nicely. He's the one that my son would use always for pulling carts. So when he went down, I thought, oh, well, we have to do whatever we can to get him going again, right? And we called the vet, and the vet came out and gave us medicine and did acupuncture and everything. And then he started crawling around to eat grass, right? He would just pull himself along with his front legs to eat here and there. But he kept pulling himself out of the shade. So then we had to keep moving his little tent with him every day, a few times a day. I had to go and check. And so then after a while, he could no longer pull himself. And so then I realized he's not going to get better. And everything's going to go downhill now. And I had a great attachment to him. You know, we'd served him, he'd served us, and there was a great attachment. So then I started feeling so bad and so distressed. And every time I'd go down there to give him water or feed him, I couldn't help but start crying. And so it was really affecting me. And I thought, oh, you know, I shouldn't be affected like this. And suddenly we put on, you know, one of those Prabhupada, it eternally plays. You can put. So I would change the kirtan, and he would listen to different kirtans every day. And one day I was down there cleaning up and brushing him, and I suddenly realized Arjun was in the same situation, only worse, right? I'm losing a cow, and I'm so suffering. But Arjun was facing his entire family. So what suffering? And he was meant to kill them, right? I'm taking care of him, Padma, and he's naturally dying. But, you know, Arjun was put in the position that he had to fight with his family members. So then I started thinking about, wow, you know, when Arjuna says that I can't fight, he gives all these excuses why we shouldn't be killing these husbands and fathers, because all the girls and women will be polluted when they have no protectors. And he gave so many reasons why not to fight this fight. And what does Krishna say? He says, you're speaking learned words, but you're acting like a man without intelligence. You're not seeing the world as it is, right? So the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna starts instructing. And I started remembering different verses that Krishna was instructing about this imperishable soul and how it's separate from the body. And it was so comforting to think of Krishna's words. And really, it's in any situation. That's the most amazing thing, that Bhagavad Gita, in any situation that we can be in, gives comfort. Because what's the most fearful situation? It's a time of death. You know, everyone's afraid of death. Even those who say, oh, I'm not afraid of death. When death comes knocking on the door, there's fear. Only a crazy man and a self-realized soul aren't afraid of death. Any sane person is afraid of death. There's some fear there. That's why we go to the doctor when we're sick. That's why we take so much care of our bodies, so that we don't go to places that are maybe too dangerous. So the first thing Krishna says after Arjun says, I can't fight, I'm not going to do that, is text 2. And it says the Supreme, well, first, Krishna smiles and he says, I can't fight. Krishna's not going, oh, that's so bad. I feel so sorry for you. He didn't do that. He smiled. He gave a beautiful smile. So then the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the value of life. They lead not to higher planets, but to infamy. And I thought, yes, that is true. Here we know that we're not this body, and that Padma is not his body. He's done service for Krishna. He's had prasadam, mahaprasadam. He's listening to the holy names. You know, what better way to go, right? So why am I lamenting? This is so insane. Why am I lamenting? So then Krishna, the first things he starts teaching is how you're separate from the body. You're not this body. You're spirit soul. And how do we know that? How do we perceive that we're not the body? Does anybody have any suggestions? I go over again.
We pictures of ourselves when we were younger, and we know we're the same person, but we look a little different.
That's true. Does everyone feel the same person as when they were young, toddlers, or in school, or yeah? Even when you get older, you're still feeling like the same person, although the body's different. So that is one way of perceiving that we're not this body. Another, Krishna tells us also, well, Prabhupada says in one of the purports that in the second chapter that actually we know also by the Vedas, right? Because at first maybe we don't really understand that we're not the body, because I know for myself from birth I was taught that I was this body. There was no question. Nobody ever said to me that, even suggested that maybe I wasn't this person, right? In the body and you are the same. So when I was first heard that, oh, you're not the body, I thought, whoa, that's pretty amazing. I'm not this body. This isn't me. Wow, who am I? If this isn't me, who am I? I mean, this seems like me. I've had the same consciousness. I've been the same person. All these years, so how am I a different person from this body? So Prabhupada gives a suggestion that, you know, there's so many things we don't know in this material world. And we go to school to find out. And one of the things we might not know, especially in these days, is who is my father? Right? Does anyone here say that they were born without a father? No one. Okay, everyone takes it for granted. We have Father. So Prabhupada said, just like that, to find out who is the Father, we ask the Mother. We weren't there. We have no idea. We weren't there at the time of conception. So we have to rely on an authority, and that authority would be the Mother. Yes, sir?
I had a text to go. I changed every day. My body said, no, don't wake up. Body said, take me to toilet. I said, no. But then body gives a hint that if I don't take you to toilet, you will humiliate me. So I see that I'm not actually body, but literally constant and different from the body. Body demands. If you don't feed me, I'll make you nauseous. I don't want to eat now, but body forces. Body has so much influence on me. I don't feel comfortable without that body.
Right.
But I'm utilizing
the body. Exactly. Yes. So in many different ways. So there, Prabhupada was also explaining that just like that, we have to accept an authority. So at first we accept this authority of Bhagavad Gita and we listen to what Krishna says. And then, just like Prabhu said, you know, you start understanding. You know, the more you read and the more you engage in devotional service, Krishna explains that that's how you get to know him. then the more you start getting realizations about the difference between yourself and the body. I know we have a japa meditation that we do in the morning, and you can sit there and chant, and you can feel yourself separate from the body. It's quite an amazing thing to do every morning. And so in different ways, we can experience that we're not this body. So the very first instructions that Krishna gives is the difference between the soul and the body. And he explains how the body is just like a coat. And at the time of death, it's just like getting rid of the coat and getting new clothes, right? The body is like a clothes. So one other time I remember having an experience. I was having my last son, I think it was, and I was in the hospital, and I was all by myself, and I was in grave pain, and I could not be comfortable. So I was moving here and moving there, trying to get some way of being comfortable, and I was by myself, and finally I was just kind of standing up and leaning over the bed and thinking, oh, this is so excruciating. You know, remembering Prabhupada saying, every woman says, I wish I could go away and have the baby come, and then I'll come back and pick it up, and you know, because very painful. So I'm sitting there. And suddenly that verse came to my mind about how I was kind of seeing my body as a separate person laying on the bed. And I hadn't had any drugs or anything. I was having a natural. But I could see myself laying there. And the verse came to me that for one who is born, death is certain. And for one who dies, birth is certain. And so I was thinking, yes, that death comes, then birth is coming also. And because we're born, we have to go through with death. And the same, because I was pregnant, I had to go through with childbirth. There was no going away and coming back to get the baby. So I immediately could understand, this birth and death is part of having a body, right? So then one may think, so how do I get away from this birth and death cycle? An intelligent person will ask that. It's a painful thing. We have so much suffering in this world. I'm suffering seeing my cow die. It was so much suffering, I couldn't even go down there after he died. My husband had to go and get him buried. And I couldn't even go down there. It was so painful. And we have to see family members die and very good friends die and teachers die. So many, because this is Mrityalok. It's the place of death. Everything dies here. It's ruled by time. Krishna says, time I am, the destroyer of the world. So time runs this place, and everyone's time is up at some point. You know, who knows who's old? One time someone was talking to Srila Prabhupada, I was listening to this conversation, and he said something about, well, when I get old, then I'll worry about, you know, becoming Krishna conscious. Right now, I have so many things, like studies and this. So Prabhupada said, who is old? Are you older or am I older? And then he was looking at Srila Prabhupada, you know, is this a trick question? Because obviously he's older than I am. I'm a student and, you know. And then Prabhupada said, old age means that you're about to die. He said, and who, are you dying first or am I dying first? Who can tell? Even a baby might be older than me. Children die. So who knows who's old? So that's it's a wake-up call. Yes, we might be old. We might be the oldest person in this room. But we know that we're not the body. So even the body's going, the soul is continuing, right? It's just going from a body to another body. And according to our activities in this life, Krishna explains that, then you'll get the body that you deserve for your activities and your desires. There's some very nice pictures in the Bhagavad Gita showing the desire, someone wanting to sleep all the time. You know, this one to sleep all the time. They get a bear's body. You know, bears can sleep for ages. All winter, they're lying in a slumber. No, someone wanting to just be naked. They can have a tree body and stand as a naked tree for hundreds of years. Although in Kali Yuga, they don't really last hundreds of years because they get cut down for newspapers and things. But the normal life of a tree can be hundreds of years. You know, so different varieties of desires and activities, we get bodies according to that. The hog will eat anything. There's nothing a hog would not eat, right? He eats evacuation from other animals. He eats dirty things. He's rolling in the mud. Here you don't see pigs so much. But if you go to India, you see them on the streets. They're always in the gutters, digging around. And, no, not clean animals. They will eat anything. So someone who wants to eat anything, they can get the body of a hog. Then they can be happy. So according to our desire and what we deserve, we get a body that will go along with that. So there's no lamentation about the body going. There might be some losing a friend, relatives. There's some lamentation. But we know if we can do whatever we can to give them a chance for a higher birth. And that starts now in our association with each other, what we do ourselves. We can make ourselves spiritually stronger, and we can help others become spiritually stronger. And at the time of death, I remember my mother-in-law when she was dying. She was 92 years old. And she was a British lady, and she'd been fairly well off, and, you know, she lived a nice life. But she'd always come and visit us and stay with us, and she liked devotees. She would chase after the Harinam. Once in Paris, she chased down the Harinam just to say Hare Krishna to the devotees. So she was like a devotee, but right, I was with her right up to towards the very end of her life, and she said to me, "What is meditation? What is the meaning of meditation?" So I said, "Oh, it's like what I do in the morning. What we chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare." And she said, "Oh, I should do that." And I said, "Yes, you should, especially if you get scared." Because I thought the time of death is coming. She's going to be scared. So I said, "If you get any fear, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." So she said, "Is it okay if I just say Krishna, 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 Krishna?" I said, "That's fine. Just say Krishna, Krishna." You know, so she was thinking, "Oh, they must have the answer. So let me find out. What can I do in this fearful situation?" So this is the highest knowledge. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this is the highest knowledge. It can save us from the most dangerous type of fear. And all throughout the Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter starts off with us realizing we're not the body, that we're spirit soul. But then Krishna goes on to explain, what do you do to make it out of this cycle of birth and death? What can we do in this body right now? We have so many things. We have to make a living. We have to take care of our children, our families. We have to go to school. We have so many things that we have to do in this material world just for survival. But it's not our main concern. Our main concern is to get out of this cycle of birth and death. So Krishna explains all these things, how to do this. How to go through this lifetime without being attached, although seemingly attached. We have to have love for our family members, and we naturally do. You know, we have our duties to perform, and those are natural things. But we have to remain detached. So throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains to Arjuna how to be detached, although living in this world. And it's quite amazing that throughout the Bhagavad Gita, this is actually being narrated to Dhritarashtra by Sanjaya, right? So he's seeing this whole thing happening in his mind and explaining it to Dhritarashtra, who's blind. What's going on? And what Krishna's saying? And what Arjuna's saying? And what's happening? And Dhritarashtra's very fearful, because this fight, this battle is happening on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, which is a holy place. And he knows that because it is a holy place, the Pandavas and Krishna are on one side, and they're going to have the benefit of the home ground, right? You know, like football people say, oh, when we're at home, we can play the best. So similarly, in this situation, they're in a place, it's a holy dham, so it's going to benefit them the most because they're pious. Whereas Dhritarashtra and his sons are not pious, so they are not going to get the benefit from this holy dham. So he's worried. So he's asking Sanjaya, what's happening now? What's happening now? And Sanjaya is repeating all Bhagavad Gita and explaining, you know, what's going on in the battlefield. What is Krishna saying? What is, you know, there's an one part at the very end when Sanjaya finishes and he says, first, Krishna says, O son of Prita, O conqueror of wealth, have you heard this with an attentive mind? And are your ignorance and illusions now dispelled? Because he explained everything, which we can also get this benefit by reading Bhagavad Gita, by studying this Bhagavad Gita. Our illusions also will be dispelled. And Arjuna says, my dear Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone. I have regained my memory by your mercy, and I'm now firm and free from doubt and am prepared to act according to your instructions. So just like that, even we can feel like that when we're in situations that are very fearful or bring doubts to our mind. If we can remember Krishna's words in Bhagavad Gita, they can help us over those difficult periods. And this material world supplies so many difficult situations. We don't even have to look for them. They come of their own accord. You know, so many times accidents will happen. This will happen, that will happen. You saw when there was almost a hurricane, the people in Haiti had so many difficulties. We had just small difficulties with this hurricane, but they come. Nobody's calling them to come. They come of their own accord and bring suffering. They bring suffering. And so many, just the body itself brings suffering. How many people never feel any pain in their bodies? No one. It's 100% sure that you are going to feel some pain at some point, whether it's a tooth, or a sprained ankle, or a broken arm, or so many things. One time, one devotee in my program was giving class, and he said, okay, think of your finger. Think of all the things you can do for pleasure of your finger. All right, who can name some things that you could do to your finger to give pleasure? Do what? Play an instrument? Pleasure for the finger? Maybe wrap it in some silk, you know, feels good. Keep it cool if it's too hot, or warm it up if it's cold, right? Put cream on it when it's dry. Now, how many painful things could happen to this finger? How many? Too many. Your fingernail could come off. Have you ever put something under your finger? Oh, boy, so painful. I think they use that as some sort of torture somewhere. Very painful. You can smash your finger in a door. You can cut it. You can, so many things. It can, you can burn it. I've done that plenty of times in the oven, burn your finger. The steam, take off the lid of a pot and the steam comes. So painful. So many ways. So which do you think this material world is best what is the word I'm looking for? How it can, yes, what is it most suitable for? Happiness or pain? Pain, yes, I would say pain. It has so much pain. But we're so fortunate. Not only did Krishna speak this Bhagavad Gita, but only 500 years ago, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to deliver us with a very easy method, because he could see how fallen we are in this age of Kali. So he brought a very simple method, which is the chanting of the holy name. And it said, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Palo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Amrita. That in this age of Kali, there is no other way, no other way, no other way than to chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So simple and so sweet. And we can do it every day. We can do it anywhere, anytime. We can chant. When I first heard the chanting, I got so excited. I was quite young. And every time I'd be doing anything, walking, running, hitchhiking, whatever I was doing, I would chant. And it was just so nice. You can sing to a tune, any tune. So nice. And makes you feel so good. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought this simple method to get out of the cycle of birth, death, suffering, suffering, birth, death. Birth is suffering, death is suffering, and in between there's a lot of suffering. There's some nectar also. But the nectar really comes when we know who we are and we utilize ourselves for the purpose of helping others in their Krishna consciousness and helping ourselves to be Krishna conscious by serving the Lord. It said that by devotional service, that's how we can get out of this material modes of nature that have us tightly wrapped. They're like ropes, the modes of nature. And they have us. There's a picture in Bhagavad Gita of a puppet masters. You know those puppets that are on, you can move them around in the puppet. So those are like the modes of material nature. And they make us do so many things. So many things. And then you take, Arjuna asked Krishna, you know, why even intelligent men do things that you can't believe they're doing? Why? What makes us do that? And what did Krishna say? It is lust only, Arjuna. So we have that on top of everything else. So many bad thoughts. But this lust that ties us up. And we do all kinds of things. We're just like the puppets, right? But as soon as we take shelter of the Supreme Lord and this Hare Krishna mantra, then those ropes start being clipped. And then we'll really experience real happiness and real freedom. When you do service for the Lord, somehow or other, whatever you can do, whether it's chanting or doing service at the temple or, you know, doing service for the Lord, there's real nectar there, very blissful. And then you feel real happiness. The other happiness in this material world, which is from sense gratification, we feel some happiness, which usually ends in some distress, is considered to be like the dunking stool. In medieval times, when someone did something wrong, they would put them on it's like a seesaw type thing, and strap them on and put them under the water till they almost couldn't hold their breath any longer. They were going to suck in water and die. And then they would bring them up. So as soon as they'd come up, there, and they felt happy, they thought that was happiness. And similarly, that's like us. As soon as we can stop suffering, I feel so happy now. But real happiness is experienced in spiritual life. And then once you experience that happiness, then these other so-called happinesses you see as, hey, maybe that wasn't so happy. Maybe that didn't give me real happiness. Maybe that was just the break from the suffering, you know. So maybe I should try more to get these spiritual devotional service credits going so that I can really keep experiencing this highest pleasure. And then there's a secret that after a while, you actually get to relish a relationship with the Supreme Lord, which is such an amazing thing. I mean, I was looking. I was born as a Catholic, and my parents were Catholic, and so I was raised like that. But I had so many questions that weren't answered by my priests. And in fact, when I became a devotee, my father sent me to the priest thinking I was nutty, so he could speak some sense into me. And I didn't know very much, but whatever I knew, I told the priest. So after he said, I'm not sure, it's not a harmful thing that she's interested in, and she'll probably just forget about it and come back after a while. But it's nothing really bad. Because we had some real conversations about life in the material world, and I didn't know very much, but he was interested. And so, you know, I was brought up like that, but no answers to so many questions I had. Just a very basic. So when I met Bhagavad Gita and Krishna and started chanting, then it became so obvious that this is real life. This is real life. The rest is the illusion that we have to keep going on with because we have these bodies. You know, we have to do this. Okay, I might be a teacher, I might be a whatever I am doing with this body. Okay, I'm using, but the credits from doing that should be offered to Krishna. So we carry on with that. And then at the time of death, it's like, relief. You know, I get to go back to be with Krishna. I get to stop the cycle of birth and death, birth and death, birth and death. And what a pleasant thing. It's not a bad thing. Just like when Krishna describes it, it's like changing your coat for a new coat. Who's going to complain about getting a new coat when they have an old holy one? No one will complain. So the same. Once we actually imbibe this by our chanting, by our devotional service, then we can deeply imbibe this message of Krishna. And then the fear is gone. No more fear. No more fear. And it said that at the one of the last verses, Sanjaya says, let me see if I can find it. Sorry. But I had it marked. Well, Sanjaya, first of all, he was so happy that he had been able to hear this message. He says, by the mercy of Vyas, I have heard this most confidential talk directly from the master of all mysticism, Krishna, who was speaking personally to Arjuna. So he was feeling so really blissful, really happy. O King, as I repeatedly recall this wondrous and holy dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna, I take pleasure being thrilled at every moment. This is real happiness, a thrill at every moment, not temporary thrill. O King, as I remember the wonderful form of Lord Krishna, I am struck with wonder more and more, and I rejoice again and again. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. That is my opinion. So amazing, right? Where do you ever get such an amazing conversation? You know, so many newspapers and magazines and books with conversations, so much mundane conversation. But such an amazing conversation that Arjun, that it's giving thrill at every moment. Actually, every December, the day that Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita, we have a Bhagavad Gita recitation here in the temple. And you do feel nectar by reciting Bhagavad Gita. And by reading the Bhagavad Gita, we can get this same pleasure that Sanjaya is saying, I am getting a thrill at every moment. So we should all read our Bhagavad Gita. take time to read every day something, even just a couple slokas and purports. So important. It will help us. We'll see a change in ourselves. And the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. The benefit is unlimited. Unlimited. And there's nothing to lose. Okay, so I'll stop there. And if anyone has any comments or questions or something to share, please. Tanya Pani. Do we have a microphone? Tanya Pani.
Hare Krishna. When I was thinking of joining ISKCON, my parents also sent me to a priest so that he could, dissuade me. And they gave him a list of the statements of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, 10 points. And he had the same reaction as your priest. He said, well, these are very good. These principles are great. Everyone should follow these principles.
Yes, they are the best. Who can do? The Mataji over here.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So I hear often from people who don't know about the difference between the body and the soul, and the idea of why me? Why am I suffering? And God is a punishing God and putting this upon me. So, that's especially my mom. So I'll just say I deal with it all the time. And I'm trying to explain to her about karma. And she's like, but I was so good in this lifetime. And I thought, well, none of us are perfect, though. And like you, coming around a Catholic family, I had the same question. And I asked my grandma when my grandfather died, well, how do you know he's going to heaven? You know, because that's it. It's either heaven or hell. And I kept saying, there's got to be something more. What if he did something wrong? And, of course, back then I didn't know Grandpa wasn't perfect. But I'm just saying, I don't know. I just think preaching and trying to help people who are still relating to the body in such a way that it's this punishing God and that I'm this body and therefore I'm suffering for it is different than saying, okay, my body is suffering, but it's not me. And then just try to relieve yourself of those pains.
That's such a relief. One of my sons had a car accident, and he was in a coma for a few weeks in the hospital. He was only 3 and a half, just little boy. And so my husband and I stayed there chanting all the time with him and just staying by his side chanting. And there was a social worker type person that came because they thought he was definitely going to die. So they were trying to relieve us of wanting to commit suicide or something. So immediately my husband started preaching to her about our, and she's going, I've never seen parents. You're obviously very attached, and yet you're not like freaking out. They have bars on the windows so that nobody would jump out the window when they told them that their loved one had died or was dying or, so then at the end she goes, could you give me a book that might help me to help others like this? So we got to distribute a few books in the hospital, and it was quite amazing, that because this really saves one from suffering. This bodily notion, that I'm this body is so much suffering, just the notion of that. What it means, if I don't look perfect, then I'm a failure. If I'm getting old, then I'm a failure, right? If I'm not strong and handsome, I'm a failure. Because I'm obviously this body, then my whole life is a failure. So how much suffering this body brings, what to speak of all the other things that we discussed already. But even those mental challenges, I'm no longer young. I'm no longer beautiful. I'm no longer... I'm losing my intelligence even. I can't remember what day it is today. Or, so many things are going to be torn away from us. And if we're still thinking, that is so much suffering. So this is the relief. The panacea for this civilization is this Hare Krishna mantra and understanding the difference between body and soul.
Awesome.
The Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that in Jiva Dharma that the suffering, main purpose of the suffering, why Krishna created or God created, that the misuse of free will caused the soul to degrade and entangle and go life after life suffering. At one point, out of his compassionate nature, he created this suffering so that in intense pain, the soul turned back and asked question, is there God? Is there a happy life? So the purpose of the suffering, he says, for me or for everybody to turn back towards him and engage in devotional service so that the suffering forever will disappear. Mm-hmm. But if the soul does not do that, still maintain this hostile mentality not to serve God, then it may continue until it comes to life. But it is a mercy, actually.
That's right. It is. It is mercy. And you can see, I know for myself, and I'm sure everyone has experienced, that when you're in suffering situations, that is when you take the most shelter of chanting and reading and trying to find relief. That is, and you get the best realizations at those times, actually. I find that because you're really taking shelter and Krishna is giving you the understanding so that you can stop suffering.
Just one more point. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, was very appealing to me when my life, I was thinking like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, if anything happened to a devotee, even, because devotees sometimes go through also tough time. Mm-hmm. He said that how he should see it, that when the suffering comes or obstacle came in life, what is the state of consciousness I am in? Am I seeking for help from the Lord, from Prabhupada, from Guru Krishna? Or am I just trying to avoid that and doing my own things and own way to figure it out? And if we look at back and at that, during the suffering, if the state of consciousness is very focused to the lotus feet of the Lord in devotional service, chanting, and after, then Lord will minimize and it will make it easy. And while they are coming back, what is the thought? What is the consciousness behind? Those things will determine in future. Mm-hmm. So if devotee, once they go through suffering and they really embrace Krishna consciousness, they will never go back to, because Krishna will prevent. And Prabhupada says that, was very touchy. Prabhupada says, just like a father holding the hand of a child, who is walking, he's a very infant, is about to fall, but father doesn't let him fall. He will pick him up. So two things, what I understand from this Prabhupada example, that suffering or struggle may come in my life, but what is my consciousness during the suffering and when I'm coming out of it? If I'm really devotional mentality, not to accuse or blame other devotees or committing offense, but I'm stick to my spiritual practice, then Krishna will see that and he will not let anymore, if I continue sadhana practice, he will not let me.
Actually, that's a higher principle, that this suffering in this material world indeed is for us, to help us. And especially after we start taking shelter of Krishna, then any suffering is to remove all the little impediments we have in the heart that we're attached to. The other morning, actually, it was so funny. Just suddenly, I thought, why am I not surrendering to Krishna now? I should just right now surrender. And then I thought, yeah, but. Have you ever had that experience? Yeah, but what about this? I'm still kind of attached to this. You know, so we're still clinging on. So Krishna, it's kind of like if you're clinging on to something. Krishna's just like opening our fingers to let go of this material world. And those sufferings are, if we really analyze why this is happening, just like a very good friend of mine had a bad thing happen. A tree fell on her house with this last big wind, right? And smashed a hole in the roof and the water came in. And so she had to move all of her stuff out. And somebody said, why would that happen to you? And she said to me, I know why. It's so that I can get rid of some things that I'm attached to here. I'm keeping so many things and moving them out. I'm seeing, I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need. You know, so Krishna makes arrangements just for us. And if we try to hear, we'll understand why. It isn't someone else. It isn't, like you said, we can't blame, oh, so-and-so did that to me. No, we have to introspect. Why is Krishna doing this? Why am I in this situation? What am I learning from this? What can I learn? And sometimes Krishna, when it's really, like, really tough, I had this one experience, many experiences, but to get rid of the false ego, that's the biggest one, right? And it's so hard because we are clinging on because we've had that with us forever, right? And Krishna makes the arrangement that you cannot get out of the situation. You're in a very humbling situation. I had just moved here. This is a little embarrassing for my family members, but it really shows how. And I just moved here, and I didn't really know so many devotees here. And I was standing in the back of the temple room, and it was Radhastami, and everyone was chanting, and I thought, oh, I wish my son was here to see Srimati Radharani. I don't know where he is. Srimati Radharani, why don't you make some arrangement that he could come and see you? And I swear, a second later, Krishna, one devotee said, are you Mother Uchira? I said, yes. Oh, your son is out in the parking lot. The police have brought him here. And I went out there, and how embarrassing. Can you imagine? You know, everybody's looking, oh, what are the police car doing here? You know, and here I am walking out. I don't know anybody. They're thinking, oh, man, what are the police here for her? You know? But Krishna stuck me in that situation. I realized, you know, it was such a humbling situation. But I have such a big false ego that Krishna has to stick me in those situations to take some of it away, just to pull a bit of it away, you know. And I couldn't get out of it. There was no getting out of it. And he sticks us, I mean, I have a million of them because I have such a big false ego. Krishna has to keep smashing me in different ways. But he'll always put me in a situation that I cannot get out of, that he forces that realization. You are being so proud. You need to be humble. Because what does Lord Chaitanya say? Trinadapi suniche na tororapi sahishnina amanina manade na kirtaniya sadahari. Without that humility and offering respects to others, we can never chant the holy names of the Lord constantly. So we should be so happy that these things are coming, even though they're painful. They're actually blissful because that's the way that we can rid ourselves of all this false ego and garbage that we carry around with us and, you know, see things as they really are and get out of here once and for all. Okay, so I'll stop there because it's time for prasadam. Thank you very much. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.